Didn't See It Coming, the podcast about brands that learn from the past, are looking to the future, and are profiting because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber.
Today, I want to bring you in on a conversation that started just a few days ago with an old friend of mine named James. He works at an agency called Spring Advertising in Vancouver. Friend of mine, we played in bands and stuff like that, and we were sitting around having a few beers, and we started talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, what happens in a post-advertising world. And James agreed with me. He's still working in an ad and design company. And he says, yeah, you know, it comes down to basically being brilliant for other people. And if you do a great job, those people do really well. And you get to shake their hands and watch them ride off into the sunset. So James has taken a very, very interesting departure with his colleagues at Spring, and they've actually started going into the innovation business. Now, I know you've heard ad agencies talking innovation and creating stuff, and they usually do a crappy job of it, which actually ties into the topic we're going to talk about today. So I don't have James on the phone. I've been pumping him up, but I've got his partner, Rob Schleicher. Rob, welcome.
Mark.
And James said, you know, if you want to talk about how to do innovation and build stuff and own it as opposed to just build stuff for other people, Rob is the man to talk to. Now, Rob is also an author. He wrote Finders Keepers, and he has my book, Didn't See It Coming, on his shelf. I have my his book sitting on my shelf. So we're in the mutual fan club. And but I don't want to talk to you about books today. We'll talk about books another time. Rob, I want to talk to you about the problem of advertising and how you solved it. So let's start with that aha moment where you woke up one day and said, this is bullshit, what we're doing.
Well, thanks, Mark, for the introduction. There's a great book I read years ago called Stress for Success. And there's a line in it which I use every time I'm mad, which is, anger is the energy for change. Which is, you know, it's one of those things where you're walking around with your teeth, gritting your teeth, going, anger is the energy for change, anger is. And anger is a weird thing because often you're mad at yourself. And I've been in the business for about 25 years now. And the amount of times I've been mad at myself for, you know, falling over myself, staying up nights and working for a client to do work that I'm genuinely happy to do for them. And delighted at his success, and then at the end of it, they go away and they become millionaires, and I pat myself on the back, and then I go home and think about how I'm paying my mortgage.
It's such a common scenario, and yeah. And ad agencies, we always have these ready excuses. Oh, we should have charged them more. Oh, yeah. That isn't it. That's not the problem.
Well, there's a structural problem as well that none of us really acknowledge properly, in that the ad agency structure was designed around 15% commission. That went only 20 years ago, but we haven't figured out how to charge for our work yet.
Right. Now, let's just, so folks who are not in the business, the 15% commission came in because we all used to be connected to media companies. So the creative center would be a loss leader, and then we would buy ads, and every time somebody bought an ad in a newspaper, we'd make 15 points on it, and that went away a long time ago.
Yeah, that's how they paid for the expensive suits on Mad Men. And yeah. That system hasn't been in place since pretty much the era of that show. But what we did when we built the ad agency business in those days was that we looked at it as a very high service business. And then we moved into an hourly model or a retainer model. But we also held on to this personal caring and service structure that paid for account people and paid attention to our clients and really wanted to help them become successful. And we kind of forgot to make money on it.
Well, there's another problem there too. I know first time we get a new account person walks and says, how many hours do you think on this job? Mm-hmm. I don't know, 20 minutes, 20 days. But a client on the receiving end of that sees an invoice that says 20 days of the creative director's time, and they go, you're screwing me over here, because they think if it's measured by hours, then we are going to take as many hours as we've budgeted, right? Yeah. And so they feel cheated. We always feel that we haven't put enough hours in because we can't estimate hours to come to an idea. So there's a flaw in that system.
Yeah. So it's generally speaking, it's a lose-lose relationship, and which is the worst kind of relationship there is. But so my big revelation, because when you live inside of a box that's been created a long time ago and you don't understand that it's changed, it's very hard to identify the issues. It becomes part of it's your internal culture. It's like, you know, no families talk about their table manners, right? You know, you're just inside of it. Those are table manners.
Right.
And in an ad agency, that's the way you do business. So, Mark, you and I, before the call, were talking a little bit about a client of ours. If it's okay, I'll just tell you the story again.
Yeah, no, I want to hear the story.
So a few years ago, we were doing some work, a couple arrived in our boardroom, and they had come up with an organic baby food, and they wanted packaging for it. And they were making it in blenders in Whistler, and they were selling it at local stores, and they called it Hungry Pumpkin. And I went away and I thought about it over the weekend, and Mark, as you mentioned, you're a parent, and I'm a parent, and I thought about the first time I ever drove our firstborn home. You go to the hospital with two, you come home with three. By the way, I can't believe that there aren't more tickets handed out to first-time parents, because we must have pulled over 8 times to look in the back seat to see if the kid was actually there. And now she's 23 and we've got a bunch of them. It's a whole different story. But there's a transition point in your life where first-time parents feel that their child is the most special thing ever born on the planet, and rightly so. But they also go through an identity crisis, which is their loss of cool or their loss of relevance and, let's face it, their loss of sleep and their loss of social life. So I thought, well, what would be Hungry Pumpkin needs to own a niche. They can't just be another baby food getting into a very crowded market and trying to get into grocery stores, which is near on impossible. So what if we said, okay, this product is for first-time buyers who are suffering from the minivan identity crisis. So I thought, well, I want to give this brand an identity that it owns on its own, where it has a feeling and it has a culture of its own that feels like we haven't lost everything. It has a name that says, I'm kind of the new radical in parenting, which every new parent feels like. So we came up with, over the weekend got hit with Love Child, and that name scared the hell out of me. I walked into the creative department on Monday and I wrote it on the board, and I remember the account guy coming into me, great guy, and coming into me later and saying, do you have any other names? I don't want to present that name. And I was very nervous. We went to the client and we said, okay, your new brand is going to be called Love Child. And they went, we all kind of held our breath. And then they thought about it for a day, and I explained why, and they came back to us. And 3 years later, they retired on the proceeds of the sale of that company.
Yeah.
And
you had enough to buy a small car.
May have been able to purchase a Honda Civic, but
and they were billionaires.
Probably not with a leather interior. And I was, and that's where you get into this cycle of bitterness that seems to pervade our business.
Yeah.
Oh, I made this guy rich. Look, what did it do for me? Oh, they didn't appreciate me. They don't love me. I think we may be the angry adolescents of business.
But that's why they invented awards, right? You make shiny awards and it gets people off that nasty track.
Let's let them kill themselves to win shiny objects. That'll shut them up for a while.
Yeah.
And so a little while later, on the back of this, and the other thing is you always go to do good work because you feel it'll attract other clients. So a woman arrived in spring, and she had a definitively excellent high-fiber cereal, high in saturated and unsaturated. Forgetting about my product brief now. But
Soluble and unsoluble fiber,
you,
right?
Thank you very much. I'm getting too close to my own product. Soluble and insoluble fibers, and which are kind of this super combination that clear your guts up. And we put together a brand for her. We figured out how that whole niche worked, or how we could build one for her.
With the best name in the world.
Yeah, and she got scared. And, well, we gave her the second best name. We didn't give her the name that we came up with in the end, because that was way too radical for her. But we've been playing around with this name around the shop, and it scared us. So we thought, well, if it scares you, you know how it is, Mark. Yeah. If it scares you, it's probably the one you have to go after.
It's probably a good one.
Yeah. So, and then we also learned a lot about distribution on Amazon, Amazon US, which is far more mature than it is in Canada. And people, we can fall into the cliches about how fast online buying is going, but needless to say, it's a good place to be. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, let's go into business for ourselves. Let's go into the high fiber cereal business. We purchased her stock of cereal. We put in a test of packaging. We put it in the market, and somewhere around this time last year, we launched Poop Like a Champion brand cereal.
Now, let me, for all you listeners who can't believe what you just heard, yes, it is called Poop Like a Champion, the ultimate college joke of cereal.
Yeah. even though we seem like a bunch of lunatics for doing it, there's a strategy behind it, which is, when you look at any good product in the digital age, one of its demands is to be shareable. The other one, which you and I were talking about earlier on, is it has to be of a definitive quality within its niche. In that, I'm using this example, Subaru sold more cars during the recession than it did before the recession.
Right.
Because it has a definitive car.
Yeah, it's not off-road. It's not a car. It's the off-road car, and it's perfect for 80% of us.
Yeah, and so they make this car that if you're rich but you don't feel like you want to blow your money on an all-wheel drive BMW anymore, Subaru is a great answer. If you want to buy one car that you're going to have for the rest of your life, Subaru is a great answer. They've got a great niche definitive car. So we wanted to have a niche definitive high-fiber cereal. Because the second part of it is that this is a very democratic world we live in right now. You can't Our deal as ad people anymore is you could never BS in advertising. There's the old saw about a good ad kills a bad product faster than a bad ad because more people try it first.
Yeah.
Well, now if you come up with a mediocre product that doesn't do anything, particularly on Amazon, you're going to get killed on ratings. If you have a bad resort, you're going to get killed
on reviews.
On reviews. If you have a bad car, you're going to get killed. If you have, if you're a jerk, you're going to get killed on Facebook. Well, unless you're a politician. But so we had to have it right. So we made the product, we got it out there, and we did a test run, and we sold out way ahead of when we planned on it with no marketing. And then we went back and we reformulated it. We're repackaging it, and fine tuning it, and we're relaunching. Our new and improved product, cereal,
right.
Improved. We're relaunching that product in, we're just getting our FDA clearances right now, so we should be back on the market in February.
Now, let me just backtrack here. For everyone who is working at an ad agency or everyone who has a great idea or thinks that they've been selling their ideas cheap to other people and wants to try that entrepreneurial thing, you found this cereal, which anyone can find a product.
Yeah.
Or something that already exists, or take a product that exists and give it a tweak, as you do when you're a creative thinker.
Yeah.
You did what you do best, the whole strategic piece, saying, who am I going to appeal to? What is this product going to do better than anybody else? It's just an old-fashioned, unique selling proposition.
Yeah.
And then you put your amazing design skills and wordsmithing skills into play to build this world around the product. And then the final piece, you went into business as a distributor because you don't. You and I were relating this story about my friend who sells T-shirts. He said, if you want to get into this business, you're going to be spending 5 years standing at the door of a department store trying to get in, and they won't let you in because it's locked up. And now you can go to Amazon, list a product, have an online store or eBay or whatever you want, and you can try out this high-fiber cereal to see if anybody's going to line up for your brilliant idea, great positioning, wordsmithing, design skills, to see if you're actually that good, which to me is an awesome awesome, awesome reward. Even if you never made a nickel, you can try your ideas out in the real world as opposed to at an award show.
Yeah, that sums it up very nicely, Mark. There's another piece to this, too, in that for a while, ad agencies dabbled with paid for performance. I know that, you know, there's a few agencies around town that tried it. There's an issue with paid for performance in that, first of all, how do you ensure that the client is reporting? How do you ensure that you're not in an apples and oranges business? But more frankly, a little more frighteningly, how do you know whether your client's any good at their job?
That's right? What I always thought. You know, we tried it out like everybody did. Yeah. And then you go, I do a great ad for you, but you have somebody terrible serving burgers at the store.
Oh, yeah.
I could have Jesus write the ad.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't sell a burger with that guy selling burgers.
Hell of a good copywriter, by the way.
Yes.
His book still sells.
Exactly. I can't remember past the first three commandments. So that's why advertising only has the rule of three, right? You should only do three commandments.
Exactly. There's don't put premium gas in a regular car. The righteous indignation that I poured out on clients who didn't deliver on what we advertised. I mean, if you could harness that energy, I could power my house.
Yeah.
You know, so the only guy I'm mad at now when we screw up is me.
Yeah.
So, and
but we said it before in a conversation, we said, you know, advertising agencies, like department stores, are incredibly risk averse. They have no trouble going around to clients telling them all the things they do wrong. Right. But when it actually comes to taking on risk and trying it,
yeah,
it's a crazy business. We're so risk averse.
Oh yeah, we're the ultimate guy. Telling his buddy to ask that girl out because you're afraid to.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. So let's follow the story now. Now you have created a model. Are you going to repeat?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the beauty of this is that it isn't, you're not going to working on something for somebody else to profit. You're not doing yourself into a job. You're creating a product. So you do the work once, you put it out there, it's done, and it just keeps making money.
Yeah. And as you know, Mark, you know, because we're both authors here, is that we wrote books not to, well, I mean, ideally, you know, as you power yourself through the process of writing, you think, well, wouldn't this be great to see this on the New York Times bestseller list? But the other part of you, the other idealistic part of you, is saying, wouldn't it be great if the CEO of Verizon picked it up and called me and said, hey, love you to do some consulting for us, you know, and do this work. Well, and that's very much even like the advertising agency model, where you work very hard to build a reputation, to build a body of work, so that you can have the right people on board, pay the right people sometimes when there's no money coming in, to be in the position to sell a new client and bring in a new client. And when that client arrives, though, what you're doing is more work.
Yeah, what you're doing yourself into is a job.
Yeah.
As opposed to passive income, which is the holy grail.
Yeah, you're doing a job to get a job.
Yeah.
And then you do it again. It's a cycle. And you have, you know, the manifold worries and concerns and tasks and issues that come along with that. Whereas, and this still blows my mind, when we sell a box of Poop Like a Champion cereal, I don't have to do anything else. That's done. It's over.
It's almost frightening, though, isn't it? Because yeah. I created this product called BrandDIY.com because I saw a lot of startups around me couldn't afford me as a brand consultant.
Yeah.
But they did have 50 or 200 or 500 bucks, and they needed the brand because they couldn't explain what they did in simple terms. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll build this thing for you. And they're out there buying it, and I almost feel like I should go around to their houses and go, so how you doing? Because I want to go to work for them.
We can't let go.
I can't let go. And they're perfectly happy without me. They're kicking me out the door going, go away. We're fine. Yeah. It's really hard to get used to.
Want me to help you eat that cereal? can I come over and cut up the bananas for you?
Exactly. So in the future, what are you looking at next? Do you have any product categories that you're thinking of next?
Well, we talked about this a little bit too, is that follow the Google. Right.
Yeah.
So if there's a Google search that isn't crowded at the far end with advertisers or people who are working on pushing their SEO up, so you wind up in an organic place where you look for information on Google and you wind up hitting either Wikipedia or WebMD or any number of outlets that aren't fields that aren't being overly plowed already by potential competitors, then you've got potential for a niche.
Let's bring that down into real world terms for listeners. What did you do when it came to Poop Like a Champion? Where did the search take you?
Well, the litmus test was Google. So we, using Think with Google and Google Analytics, we started Googling various phrases, long string searches, what do I do if I can't poop, constipation. And we found that at the other end of that search, more often than not, we would wind up with a New England Journal of Medicine report on constipation.
So no product.
Yeah, very little in the way of product. You run across with the ones that are everywhere, all brand. A few of them, Metamucil.
But also old brands and stuff that hadn't changed since Jesus was in short pants.
Exactly. And quite frankly, a lot of them aren't really on their game. I hope you're not listening to this.
Well, if they are, they're still, we're still in the business of helping brands. So they could give us a call anytime.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot. when we came to the end of that, we realized, this is not going to be that difficult to move up the SEO ladder on so that we would be there at the ends of searches. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the intention around our brand name, which may seem foolish to some. I mean, I've often talked to people who say, why the hell would you call it Poop Like a Champion? Why don't you just call it Wonder Fiber or something?
Because nobody types Wonder Fiber in at 2 a.m. when they can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is that it's eminently shareable. I mean, it was quite funny because this test run that we just completed, now that our new product's about to launch, we were so frightened of running out of stock before getting into our next production round. And actually, we're out of stock right now. And this is what happened. And this was sort of one of our greatest hopes and biggest fears were realized at the same time. And that we got picked up on BuzzFeed as the top 10 products of the week.
Wow.
Somebody wanted to talk about saying poop like a champion. So it's very important that you have a product that's not only definitive in quality, but it also is shareable in idea.
Right.
So in our digital age, you can't have, you're just missing an opportunity if you don't give somebody something to talk about.
Right. Right. No, it's super talkable. But, I'm a frustrated copywriter or art director or account guy at an agency, words of advice to close the loop for us.
First of all, cheer up. It's warm and dry in the office. I was a city worker before I did this. And
yeah.
Tell you, cold feet on a day like today, I'd give anything to be a frustrated copywriter.
Yeah.
And the second thing too is that art directors, copywriters, do feel threatened by the way that the world is changing. And that's a mistake because there are so many things that can be done in this business now. But I think one of the catalysts in play here was a book called The 5-Hour Work Week, which kind of deconstructs the idea of working and says, where can you find an opportunity to do something that creates passive income for you? Mm-hmm. Now, passive income does sound like we're selling a weekend seminar, but
or else mutual funds, that you're sitting around and just watching your investments. That's not at all it.
Yeah. So I think it's important to realize that you're in this business as a commercial artist. That is that you're a person of an artistic temperament who has been given talent. Talent is a wonderful thing because talent means that you don't have to work hard at something that other people do. Mm-hmm. And that spoils us a little bit. But it also means that you sort of have a magic wand that you're armed with. So take the magic wand that you're armed with, look at products, and think about the channels that are available today and how what you have in the art of what you do can create a new future for you.
Yeah.
That does sound like a weekend seminar.
Well, it does sound like a weekend seminar, but I think, let me break it down into simple terms.
Yeah.
What I've been preaching to folks and just starting to experience it myself, it's very exciting. It's given me a whole new lease on life, is that all the tools that you've been looking for are out there. And all you have to do is ask the question. So I want to get on a supermarket shelf. I can do it in 5 minutes on Amazon or on eBay. I want to find out if I'm selling the right product. I can put out a survey, Gizmo survey, and ask people if that's the product they want. I can answer all these questions that quickly. So if I have a great idea, or what I think is a great idea, because 99% of them aren't, well, it's easy to put my money where my mouth is, because one, I don't have to have as much money, and two, I don't have to embarrass myself in front of the whole world. I can try these things out. So, you know, there's no excuse for being bitter anymore, but what I love, spring advertising could be spring innovation. You've got exactly the same talents at work, that is innovative brains, curiosity, harnessing things that are new and different, but there is a way to turn a corner, and instead of doing it for someone else, you can do it for yourself, which is that cherry on the ice cream, which is this great reward that you feel like you've built something and now it's out there hustling for you.
Yeah, it's well summed up. By the way, I think I'm going to go grab that URL.
All right. So for people who are sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning and don't know how to go to the bathroom, poop like a champion, I can find it on Amazon. Yeah. I can find your book, Finders and Keepers,
on Amazon.
Yeah. And we're going to be tracking your progress and looking for the next thing. When can we look forward to some more news? Well, I guess you and I will be in conversation. We'll have this phone call when you've got the new product.
You know, we're out of stock as it stands. This is a U.S. product. We're not in Canada yet because the network is more mature in the U.S.
Right.
The new Poop Like a Champion, complete with a genuine cardboard box, will be in the Amazon store by, I believe, late January.
Okay.
We are looking at coming out with ancillary products like bars, and we're looking at a few others. So I'll tell you about those ones when they come in.
We'll have another phone call as a follow-up. Thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Didn't See It Coming, the podcast about brands that learn from the past, are looking to the future, and are profiting because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber. If you want to get a hold of me, drop me an email at Mark, M-A-R-C, at markstoiber.com. M-A-R-C-S-T-O-I-B-E-R.com. Have a good one.